Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. David anointed as king. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, today we are starting 2 weeks. This week and next week, we're going to be looking at the life of David. And David became the king. During this 2 weeks, though, we're going to be looking at three time periods of David's life. First is what we look at today, David as a shepherd, and then we'll be looking at David as a fugitive, and then David as a king. And as we look at David today, we'll begin to see some of the characteristics that you'll see on the screen there in that word cloud. And you may notice that some of those characteristics don't seem to go well together. And David was like us. He had his strengths and weaknesses. And sometimes in his life, he behaved very faithfully and well and was a good king and leaders. Other times, he did some really bad things. So you'll see words up there like wise and foolish and victorious and murderer. And all these different things that kind of are descriptions of who David was. And I think that in some ways ought to give us some comfort, because it is a reminder that God does not choose the perfect. In fact, if God chose the perfect, he would have a challenging time, right? Because none of us are perfect. But it is a reminder that when we seek to follow God in our lives, and when we offer Him our lives, that He will use us in our lives, and that God can do wonderful things through His people. The title of the sermon is Little and Unexpected, and that's exactly what David was. He was little and unexpected. He's not the one you would expect for God to call to be a king. And that's what our scripture today tells us. It begins by talking about Saul. It mentions him too, but Samuel. He was the prophet at the time of King Saul. And it says that Samuel was grieving because God had rejected King Saul as the king of the people of Israel. Saul had been disobedient to God and had not done things that God had asked him to do. And so it says that God rejected him and he would no longer be king. Samuel was grieving this. Samuel had been there and had anointed Saul as king to begin with. So I think Samuel was disappointed at how Saul had acted as king in his disobedience. So Samuel was grieving over Saul, and the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve? I have rejected Saul from being king over Israel. Fill your horn and fill it with oil and set out, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, and I have provided for myself a king from among Jesse's sons. So Samuel is sent out to, and he's told that the new king is going to come from this man named Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem. So he goes to Bethlehem, he calls Jesse and says, I want you and your sons to come with me. We're going to do a sacrifice. We're going to sacrifice to God. And as they gather together, it says that Samuel called each of the brothers before him. And God had said, I will let you know when you get to the right brother, the one that's going to be king. And so they called the oldest first. And typically, as you know, in that culture, the oldest son kind of has that prominent position. And so the first son was named Eliab. And when Eliab was brought forward, Samuel said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. He looked at this son and said, surely this is the one. He looked the part. He looked like a king. He was the oldest. But God said to him, do not look on his outward appearance or on his height or his stature, because I do not look at human beings the way human beings look. I've rejected this one already. Instead, God said, of looking on the outward appearance as human beings do, God said, I look upon the heart. So the oldest would have been the expected one. It's who Samuel expected. He looked the part. And God is right in how he speaks here. You know, we tend to judge people by what we can see, don't we? Now, not always just appearance. It's not just appearance, but we by other people's actions. That's what we can see, right? That's how we size people up. It's how they size us up, by what they can see. But God said he was looking beyond that, and he saw into David's heart. And before David is named, each of the brothers is brought before Samuel. And each time, seven different brothers are brought before Samuel, and each time God says to Samuel, this is not the one. This is not the one. In fact, that was all the brothers who were there had come forward, and then Samuel says to Jesse, do you have any other children? And that's when Jesse says, I have this other, the youngest, and he's out tending the sheep. It almost gives me the impression that David was like an afterthought here. As the youngest, maybe he was the lowest position, and he was out with the sheep. He hadn't even been invited to this gathering and this sacrifice. But Samuel says to Jesse, be sure to call him and bring him here. And when David was brought before Samuel, the Lord said, rise and anoint him, for he is the one. And Samuel took out his horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. So David was anointed king because God saw something in David that God knew would be good for being a king. Now, over the last month or so, we started this new year with a sermon series called 2020 Vision, and we talked about the struggle that we have, that human beings are double-minded, and we can have things that we want to do, things that we know we should do, and yet we can end up doing things that we didn't intend to do, or not doing things that we intended to do. And so David is not perfect, and we'll see that, but there was something in the heart, and for that time, God said, that is what I want. And I think that one of the things that God saw in David's heart was this heart of a shepherd. David was a shepherd, which would make him a good king. You know, when we talk about kings, sometimes we use the phrase, the king reigns. The king reigns over the people. The king reigns over the country. In the Old Testament, that's not what the king was supposed to be. The king was someone who was supposed to serve rather than reign. The king was someone who was to serve God and to serve God's people. In a sense, being a shepherd was exactly what God was looking for. He was looking for someone who would be obedient and would care for the people. And I think that God saw that in David, that shepherd's heart. As we continue in David's life today and in the next week, we'll see that David, especially early on, he started out with a strong trust in God. And also we see in David a boldness to do what God called him to do, believing that God would be with him. So Samuel at this point has anointed David as king, but he doesn't start acting as king right away. Saul continues as a king for a while, and he does a lot of bad things, and God is not happy with him. But David doesn't seize power. In fact, what David does is he gets called by the king to come into the king's service. So even though David has at this point been anointed as the king, he doesn't seize power. What we read is after he is anointed, a short time after, Scripture tells us that Saul experienced an evil spirit that tormented him. And I think this is related to the fact that Saul had disobeyed God and God had rejected him as king. He had failed. And I think he experienced this depression and torment. And so some of his advisor, Saul's advisor, says, what you need is we need to find somebody who can play the lyre. And when an evil spirit is tormenting you, that person can play the lyre and you will feel better. Now, the lyre was an instrument like the harp. And so they're saying, you need some soothing music, king, because you're losing it. And they suggest, they say, we know somebody who plays the lyre really well, and it's the son of Jesse, David. And so David, the boy who has been chosen to be the king, doesn't seize power. He goes to soothe King Saul when Saul is being tormented by this evil spirit. It would be very easy for a young man like David to say, I'm king. You know, let's kill Saul and I'm going to take power. But no, he served Saul because he was doing what God called him to do. He wasn't doing it for himself at this point. It wasn't about the power for him. It was about serving God. So he goes into the service of Saul and tries to help Saul. The next scene that we see, it's kind of like a play here in David's life. First he's anointed and then he's chosen to play the lyre in the service of Saul. And the next scene is the one that we all know so well, David and Goliath. And in our scripture we're told that the David's brothers were in the Hebrew army, the army of Israel, and they were facing the Philistines. And Goliath was a mighty soldier, a giant of the Philistines. And the scripture says that the two lines of armies were lined up at each other, and every single day, Goliath the giant would come out and taunt the army of Israel. And he would say, send out your best man. No reason for the armies to fight. Just send your best man out here to fight me. And whoever wins will be victorious. And of course, none of the soldiers of Israel would go forth and face Goliath because he was huge. At this point, David is sent by Jesse, his father, with provisions for David's brothers who are in the army. And as David goes and takes the food to his brothers along the battle lines, David hears Goliath taunting the army of Israel, God's people. And David volunteers. He says, I'll go forward and I'll fight Goliath. Now, once again, David was just a boy. He had not been in the army, but he had this trust, a complete trust in God that made him bold, knowing that God was going to be with him. And that's what he said. I'll go forward. I'll go forward because this man, this Philistine, this giant cannot defy God and the people of God. So they tried to put armor onto David to go out and fight against Goliath. But it says that he was not used to the armor, so he couldn't wear it. He was a little guy and he'd never been in the army, so he couldn't wear the armor. He had trouble walking in the armor. And so he took it off and said, I don't need this. And instead, David just used what he had. As a shepherd, one of the tools he had was a sling to ward off predators that would come after his sheep. And so he took his sling and he took rocks. And he went out to do battle with the great Goliath with his mighty sword. I think that reminds us of something as well. Sometimes we may not feel like we have much to offer. We may look at other people and see their talents and abilities and say, oh, they can do so much because they have that talent or that ability. But I think David reminds us that God gives all of us gifts and abilities. And if we're just willing to offer what God has given us to His service, God can make something amazing out of it. And so David took what he had. And in God's power, he hurled a stone at the great Goliath. And the great Goliath was hit and fell down into a clump of giant humanity, I guess you would say. David was victorious because God was with him. Because he trusted God and because he had boldness because he trusted God. David was little and he was unexpected. He was not the one that you would have chosen to go up against Goliath. He is not the one you would have chosen to be a king. He was little and unexpected. And in a way, that's the story of all of the Old Testament, not just with David, but David represented as king the people of Israel, and the people of Israel were little and unexpected. They were a no-name people, a small group of people. They were not a powerful group of people. But God chose them for a special purpose to be His people. And from that people, God raised up David to be their king. And at this season of the year, as we're about to start Lent in just a couple of weeks now, we remember Christ being born, and He was born of the lineage of King David. From the people of Israel, Jesus was born to be a Messiah for all people, a Savior for all people. Jesus was not what they would have expected for the Messiah. He came as a humble, poor baby. There were all those religious leaders who were in charge of everything, but God chose this young couple, the small and the unexpected. And from this young, unexpected couple, God gave birth to a little baby. And unexpectedly to us, and unexpectedly to the people of that time, that baby would grow up to be a Savior for the world. Because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He says He looks upon the heart. So when God looks upon, this is an exercise for us. If God's looking upon our heart, what does He see? My guess is that He might see something like this. It's not all good, is it? He'll see a mixed bag. But God has promised that when we come to Him and when we seek Him, He will work within us and He will help purify our hearts. so that we can offer Him our lives and He can work through us. The little, the unexpected. I think that applies for us individually, and that also applies to us as a church. We're not the biggest church. We're bigger than some, but we're smaller than many. But what's the heart of this church? When God looks upon our church, do we have a heart that is willing? Do we have a heart that is seeking Him? And if we do, God promises He can do amazing things through His people that He's called. So as we prepare for Lent in just a couple of weeks now, it is a time of preparation. It is a time of opening our hearts to God and allowing God to work within us. It is a time of dedication. It is a time to say, wherever you send me and with the things that you have given me, those are something I'm giving back to you, use for your purposes. You use my life. You use the abilities that you have given me. And the promise is that when we do that, God can do amazing things, shining His light in this world. So may we purify our hearts in this season, and may we follow David's example. And then next week, we'll see some of the things that happened when David ceased to strive to serve God and the people first, and when he began to serve himself, and how that damaged him and damaged the people together. Let us pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you call us. You don't call us all to be kings or leaders, but you call us all to be followers. You call us to be followers of Christ, and through that, you call more people and share your good news. God, help us to purify our hearts. Help us to be trusting in you, and may that trusting lead to boldness, knowing that you are with us every step of the way. God, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your people, the people of Israel, and we thank you for the Savior that you have sent, that we might have new life in His name. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.